in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So we're shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Wednesday, August the 20th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at republicbroadcasting.org. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Now again today, we continue from the point where I left off yesterday in our study of the political party system that, as we are now seeing, stands between where we are today and where we need to be in the very near future. Also repeating, my research indicates the division of our people and the people of the world along party lines is destructive of our certain unalienable rights, destructive of the noble construct, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and in violation of the laws of nature and of nature's God. So to defeat this adversary, one must first study the adversary to determine its strength and its weaknesses, its aim and its tactics. So today we set aside the history books and put on our laboratory coats, entering the world of the super social political scientist, placing political parties under the microscope. Political parties, we'll talk about their organizational structures, political science, theory 101, if you will, types and models, your calls, and much more. I do welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions as they relate to the topic we are discussing at 1-800-313-9443. I always encourage you to listen very closely, take notes, access the RBN show archives, download a copy of today's broadcast onto a disc or CD, or for those without internet access, you may go directly to RBN by calling 1-800-724-2719 and request a copy of today's broadcast on CD. So again, the RBN listener call-in line is 1-800-313-9443, and please make a note of that. Now, going back to yesterday in a brief summary, a repeat, if you will, just a tiny bit, in modern democracies, political parties are groups of citizens who seek to win control of the government in a legal manner. And control is really the hub and the heart of this discussion that we're having. It's those that would seek to control our lives, bringing their will above our will, destroying the concept of the individual as they move us further into this collectivist global system from which there will be no recovery. There is no redress of grievance possible the way that they've got it planned. And it has been planned, and it's been planned for at least a century and probably centuries. So we need to understand that. And from a legal perspective, a political party is an organization of voters formed to influence the government's conduct and policies by nominating and electing candidates to public office. So again, the whole idea of the parties is to influence the government's conduct and policies. And so if they're influencing them in directions that are contra the way that the United States of America was founded, we need to understand it and take immediate action. We'll be right back after this brief intermission.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
And we've returned. Yesterday, we spoke briefly about pressure groups, and the pressure groups are associations of persons organized for the purpose of influencing public opinion and persuading executives and legislators to take certain actions. And so we can certainly understand that political parties and pressure groups have much in common. Now, labor unions, the chambers of commerce, and industrial and professional groups almost continually engage in various forms of propaganda in favor of their programs, which propaganda, if truthful, is sometimes good for the public's information. However, not all of the time is this propaganda truthful. We've seen so many that there's no reason to go into it, but you can just take something simple like global warming, the carbon credit scheme of global taxation. You know, these sorts of propaganda moves have to be very carefully vetted, and so many others do it. We don't need to do it here. But that's just something to plug into our thinking caps and understand. Examples, again, of permanent associations that act as pressure groups include the American Federation of Labor, and the Congress of Industrial Organizations, which, as we know, the acronym is AFL-CIO, the National Association of Manufacturers, the Chambers of Commerce, which we've spoken about intensively here, and the American Farm Bureau Federation. So frequently, citizens form temporary associations to promote a particular policy or program, either local or national. And while these groups offer programs of action, don't you love that term? We've studied Agenda 21, the program of action for the 21st century. They usually do not take part in the nomination and election of governmental officers as political parties do. And we're going to start to change that paradigm as we become vocal local and become active, forming, and participating in our voluntary associations, our local voting precinct groups. They can function very much the same way as the New England town hall meetings used to work. And I think it's time that we start to rethink some of our past. Now we're going to look into the organization of political parties. And as I mentioned yesterday and on previous broadcasts, I put together these radio addresses. I go through all of my books and I type up this stuff. A lot of it is pretty well copyrighted, and so I need to paraphrase a bit and change things about. Sometimes I read directly from the books when they're oldies, but when I get into the more modern things, it takes me more time to prepare for the broadcast because I've got to do quite a bit of typing. Nevertheless, this has all been typed out and is going to be posted on the vocallocal.org website as a PDF file so that you can read it. Now, and it'll have all of the sources listed in it. Our political parties are highly organized working bodies. We do absolutely need to understand that. The national party organizations are based upon the party organizations in the states. That's a truth. In most states, these organizations are now controlled by law and therefore are much alike. Again, truth, statutory law. You can find it in your own, find the election laws for your own state and get up to speed with how the law regulates the operation of these continuing committees, these standing committees known as political parties. The important unit in the organization is the county committee or the city committee. Now, that's to be, you know, you need to put that in your understanding. We're not talking about the important one necessarily being the national committee, because the national committee is absolutely formed from the state committees, and the state committees are formed from the county committees, and the county committees are formed from the local voting precinct groups. The local voting county committee man and county committee woman at each of the precincts can be found throughout the entire structure of our political parties. The chairman of the county or city committee is the official leader of the party. Each party has a state committee, usually composed of representatives from the congressional districts of the state. The chairman of the state committee is the leader of the party in the state. In each state, there is also a national committee man and committee woman. We're going boy, girl, and we have been for some time. These representatives of the party, when called together by the national chairman, form the national committee of the party. So now let's look into the organization a little closer. All political parties tend to become highly organized. In the United States, both major parties and some of the minor parties are organized on the national, state, and local government levels. So in the beginning of this talk yesterday and earlier, we talked about modern democracies, because we have to look at that term as a global, especially Western man, political format that has been developed over the last century or thereabouts, since the philosophical radicalism of Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill, etc. We've been moving into this modern philosophy of democracies. But when we look at the United States, of course, it has also been transformed into one of these modern democracies. But for now, in this section, we'll focus on what's happening in the United States rather than trying to explain what's happening all around the world. So the very beginning then, at the top, and it's certainly not a top-down system, it's a bottom-up system, but there's a major amount of energy and money and influence that's directed at the top. So we'll just start a talk from there and say that the national leader is the president of the United States. He is the leader of his party. The defeated presidential candidate of a major party is generally accepted as leader of his party until the national convention of the party 4 years later renominates him or else nominates another candidate. There are many exceptions to this rule, however. Let's look at the national committee. The top committee in both the Democratic and Republican parties is the national committee. In each party, the national committee consists of one committee man and one committee woman from each state in the United States and from the District of Columbia and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. The Democratic National Committee includes also representatives from the Virgin Islands and the Panama Canal Zone. Now, this information is drawn from a text that is years old And so I'm not going to say that that's, you know, gospel there, because it may have changed since this text was written. But this is what was written at that time, and we'll just run with it for today. The members of the National Committee in each party are formally named by the National Convention. But actually, the National Convention merely ratifies the selection made from the party in each state. In some states, the election of party officers is governed by state laws. In others, the party follows its own rules. The committee men are frequently businessmen or lawyers. The National Committee makes the arrangements for the National Convention, which nominates the candidates for president and vice president. The chairman plays a leading role in a presidential campaign. He directs the campaign strategy, collects funds for campaign expenses, and publishes propaganda on behalf of the candidate. Each party has permanent national headquarters in Washington, D.C. In addition to the National Committee, each party has a congressional campaign committee to support the election of its candidates as representatives and senators. The State Committee. Each major party has a state committee or a state central committee within each one of the states. The number of members of the state committee varies. In some states, these members are elected by the direct primaries. In other states, they are appointed by state or county conventions or by committees in the counties or congressional districts. The state chairman generally has great influence. He supervises the presidential campaign in his state, as well as the campaign of his party's candidate for governor. He collects and distributes campaign funds and controls publicity. He has considerable patronage. Patronage is an important term for us to understand, because patronage simply implies the power to name appointees to government jobs. It's quite the system. The county committees. Almost every county in the United States, and we know that there are over 3,000, I'm still waiting for an actual number, has both a Democratic and a Republican county committee. In some states, the county committee is chosen by county convention. In other states, the county chairman is frequently the boss, quote unquote, of a city or a county political machine. He has extensive control over appointments in the city or county administration. Excuse me, now there are a lot of people out there that are going to tell you that this old party boss machine system is no longer effective. And perhaps in some of the major cities, it has gone into the Metro 1313, as we've talked about. And well, we really haven't discussed that on this broadcast yet, so I won't elaborate there yet. We'll come back to that. But there's a metropolitan system of government going around in all of the major areas. But out here in the hinterlands, you can be sure that the boss system still works. Boss dog is still existent, and they haven't gone away. And they're gaining control more and more all the time. Families have held certain counties, governments, in their clutches for a long time. We need to be aware of that and look for places where we can upset that order so that we can start getting some reason back into our government. And the place that we can do that is at the precinct, county committee man, and county committee woman level. Now, at the time that this was written, which was again in the 70s, there are more than 146,300 election precincts in the United States. That's a number. 146. I think it's about 170,000 now. In most of them, either one or both major parties have a precinct captain or a committee man. In some states, these party officers are elected in the party primary, which we've just had here in Southwest Missouri. In others, the county committee appoints them. And you might say that frequently these are made by appointments from the county committee. The precinct committee man prepares the party poll book showing the names of the 500 or 600 voters or more in the district and indicating which are Republicans, Democrats, or members of some other party. We'll pick it up right there on the other side. This is Become Vocal Local. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to GasFreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's GasFreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
You're back. Talking about the precinct committee men and committee women, the very the heartbeat, if you will, of the local voting precinct group concept, and in this definition that we're getting here, in this case out of an encyclopedia, we find that there is very, very wide, I guess you'd say, divergence in the duties and the descriptions of the duties of the precinct committee man. Their roles in the political system, and in the process of the Ron Paul revolution, starting back in the early October thereabouts, we started putting together information in our precinct or our Ron Paul group to help those that had declared their candidacy for the county committee men and county committee women slots on the political parties for the Republican Party primarily. To help them understand what their duties were and what their duties would be and what might be expected of them as county committee men and county committee women. And much to our chagrin, but not to our surprise, we discovered that the county committee would just assume that the county committee man and county committee woman do nothing. It's basically sawing off the political system at the ankles. When you remove this critical link between the people and the politics, it opens up an enormous can of worms, but it also separates the people. It takes away their representation. This is the level of representation that makes our system of government unique and operative. And when it's not present, our system is dysfunctional as it is today. And so, as we continue our study and learn more about it, we can continue to add things to our list of what do county committee men and county committee women do, and what is the purpose, and what are the benefits of having a well-organized precinct, local voting precinct group. Let's go into this a little bit further. We can see that he says here that the precinct committeeman prepares the party poll book showing the names of the 500 or 600 voters in the district. Now, that, of course, would be people who have registered to vote. But we know that today, with the advent of the computer whirling away as it does, although it doesn't whirl anymore, it's not like the old adding machines, it keeps track of all of this stuff, and the county committee man and the county committee woman is relieved of that responsibility. However, urging people in both parties to register on proper days and to make sure that they get out to vote, distributing promotional literature, urging the voters to vote on election day on certain issues and for certain candidates. All of this is still in the bailiwick, if you will, of a county committee man and a county committee woman. They may even provide automobile transportation for the sick or indifferent or indigent voters to make sure that they get those ballot boxes filled up with the right votes. And so these are things that stand. They become part of our cloak as well. And so let's continue. Most precinct committeemen undertake the hard duties of their office because of a genuine interest in politics. And, of course, that's control. And it's also get involved with the patronage system. They undertake these hard duties in order to get their nose, oftentimes, into the trough. In order to win the gratitude of voters, the precinct committeemen frequently assist them in various ways. So here are going to be some more tips and some more clues. He helps immigrants to become citizens, bails out prisoners under arrest, finds positions for unemployed persons, and sometimes gives out charity. These activities often bring more votes on election day than persuasion, argument, or the issues being voted upon. Important to know that and understand it. The precinct committeeman operates at the grassroots of American democracy. James A. Farley, who managed the presidential campaign of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in 1932, Farley believed that the endeavors of the precinct committeemen were equal in importance with the character of the candidate and the party platform. So these are the advanced men working, you know, born from within, if you will, in the parties. In the final analysis, it is the precinct committeemen who must get the voters to the polls, and votes win elections, which is going to bring us into our understanding of theory. The theory, the political science theory behind the party system, which we'll study in just a moment. At least we'll begin. Such, in brief, then, is the organization of our two major political parties. That's the organizational structure, the framework, if you will. The political party is the agency through which every citizen may express himself on the questions of government. That is highly debatable. Membership in a political party is the only practical way a citizen can have a voice in his government. And we're going to discuss membership in these political parties. Just because you vote on a Republican or a Democratic or a Libertarian or a Green ticket does not necessarily mean that you're a member of their party. That does not mean that he must vote for every man his party nominates for office. Sometimes a unit like a county or a city is controlled by a politician who names men for nominees on the party ticket who will make honest and efficient officers. New issues may arise. The party has been connected with what may take. This is all goofed up. I was tired. What he thinks is wrong on the side of one issue or another. Anyway, if the issue is of great importance, it may become his duty to change parties in order that he might exert an influence for what he thinks is the right solution of a new question. We'll be back. We'll take this break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all-natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries, they help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
And we're back. And no, it wasn't just late. It was just a sloppy tongue on my part. I didn't actually have that sentence correct. And I'm going to repeat it again because it closes out this previous section. The party he has been connected with may take what he thinks is the wrong side on a new issue. And if the issue is of great importance, it may become his duty to change parties in order that he may exert an influence for what he thinks is the right solution of the new question. Now, with the well-entrenched system, this two-party system, the Republicans and the Democrats, what I've seen is that people will vote along party lines, and regardless of the position that the party has taken, stand by that. We saw that in the county caucuses. We saw that in the congressional district meetings, their caucuses. We saw that even at the state convention. Likely you'll see the same at the national convention. Rarely are party platform issues ever discussed outside of the realm of a platform committee. By the time the platform committee recommends it to the committee in general, they just accept it and walk on down the road. And so this party system, one of the real evils of this party system, is that people align themselves with the party and they shut off their brain and they allow other people to do their thinking for them, which is, again, it's so destructive to our system that it has brought us to the place that we are today. We need to be thinking, reasoning people and to not be influenced by party alignments on all issues, both sides, and have an open and free debate. And that is the purpose of a local voting precinct group. That is the fundamental reason for the New England town hall meetings. It was where a deliberative assembly, if you want to talk about democracy, this is a place where democracy can actually flow and function, because all of the people involved have the opportunity to be there for the debate and for the discussion. And so only in that realm can a democratic process, the Robert's Rules of Order deliberative assembly process, only there can that really function. When we start to step out into county government and then continually step further and further away from our towns, it becomes exceedingly difficult for us to have that voice there if we have no true representation, if we don't have someone there to represent our views. Let's go into the two-party system today just briefly. And again, this was written in the 70s, so this has come, we've come a long ways from here, baby. During the 1940s and 50s, some political scientists have urged that the two parties realign. And that's largely, in some certain contexts, that which I am advocating, a realignment back under the Constitution and away from these two artificial systems of division. This would mean, continuing from the article here, for instance, that all conservatives would move to the Republican Party and all liberals would be driven into the Democratic Party. Of course, we would need to go into and understand the difference between conservative and liberal in order for to find any validity in that sentence. Advocates of realignment have pointed out that some Southern Democratic leaders have views much like those of the conservative Republicans, while many Republican leaders see eye to eye with liberal Democrats on social and economic issues, which is where the idea and the concept that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats found its footing. Opponents of realignment in both parties contend that such a movement might divide the parties along class lines and lead to head-on collisions between the haves and the have-nots. But if we have listened carefully, you'll understand that the parties arose from the have and the have-nots, and that situation has not been rectified since our foundation. Obviously, that wasn't the solution. In this respect, the history of American political parties is significant. Before 1854, every major party in the United States contained both slavery and anti-slavery leaders. We could take slavery and anti-slavery leaders out and insert those that supported a strong central bank and an unlimited central government for the term slavery, and I think we'd have a better argument, but we'll just leave slavery in it for the purpose of discussion. The Democratic Party became the party of slavery leaders, and the Republican Party captured most of the anti-slavery votes in the after 1854. The result was a violent showdown leading to a civil war, and we know that there's much more to that story than what has been told here. The fathers of the Republic, and again, these could be our political fathers or these could be our founding fathers, intended Congress to serve as a representative body where all sections, interests, and groups could adjust differences and make compromises that would preserve the peace and promote the general welfare. Today, the principal agency for such compromises is the two-party system. Compromises of conflicting interests within each political party lead to statesmanlike compromises in Congress. Statesmanlike compromises. You might say that's arm twisting and backroom deals. That's what happens in the closed door committee meetings and so on and so forth. Your voice is not being represented here. The interest of the two parties is what is being represented there. Now, just briefly, we'll end out of this section by talking about the importance of the Australian ballot. That's the one you're used to seeing. The Australian ballot was one of the most important reforms required by party organizations. At first, voting was done by voice, but later it was necessary to indicate on paper the choice between candidates. The Australian ballot is a form which has come into use in most states, although now we have the electronic voting systems, but they just mirror the Australian ballot. The names of all candidates for each party are printed in one column. This arrangement makes it easy to vote a straight party ticket by placing a mark at the top of a column under the heading of the voter's party. This is the way that you can get illiterates and the uninformed to just take a knee jerk and say that, well, whatever the Republicans are doing is good enough for me because my grandfather was a Republican. Along with the Australian ballot came secret voting. Laws require polling places to be equipped with booths. The voter is given his ballot and goes into a booth alone, where he prepares it for the ballot box. Provisions are made for allowing election officials to mark the ballot of any voter who cannot mark his own. And we must remember that as the last time you went in to vote, you probably noticed the barcode on your ballot. And that barcode has a relationship to your name, because the number of the ballot is connected to your name by when the election judge writes the number of your ballot beside your name. And if you think that's secret in the world of computers, well, what can I say? So now we can go into a little bit more about the theory, if you will, of the individual party structure. Let me see if I've got something in my printer over there. Maybe not. I should have several more pages here. I'm fumbling. Let's see if I can get them quickly. No, I don't see them right here. Let's see. Lots of stuff here to go through on all of this. What I wanted to do is go into a book written by William Wright. I'm pretty sure I printed that out this morning. It's important. Okay. Yes. Here we are. I had it. Just buried under all of this paper. Here we go. This is from a book. It was entitled Party Organization, A Comparative Study. And I'm going to go through just a little bit of it section by section, just the first two sections, to give you an idea as we transition from encyclopedias and the history books. We go into one of the social sciences known as political science. And as we understand from sociology, which was a term that was coined by Auguste Comte, the founder of the system of philosophy known as positivism, who wrote his system of positive philosophy and his system of positive polity, or politics. He also wrote his catechism for the positive religion, or the universal religion of humanity. Auguste Comte and Henry St. Simon, his mentor, are very influential people that are generally not discussed. Everybody wants to talk about Karl Mordecai Marx or Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, who are also very important people, but there's more going on to all of this than meets the eye, as always. Sociology was basically a science that was certainly not worked out in any great detail, but set up by Auguste Comte. And one of the things that we've come to understand about sociology, where man becomes the focus of a science, just as Newton looked at the natural laws, Comte was looking at human beings in society and making it a science. He called it the queen of sciences, and it certainly has become such. But when we think about man and the things that he does as a science, then we can start to understand that from that inquiry alone, it has the ability to change man as he's being studied. They say that the social scientist, when he's studying a group, alters the group. And so we can understand a little bit more about political science when we start to realize that various and sundry political scientists have been studying the idea of politics and political organization and multiple party systems and two-party systems and one-party systems for quite a number of years. And it's as a result of that study and the reading of their results that changes the political structures. And so when a county committee chairman is thinking about getting stronger in his county, he goes and he studies political science. Anyway, let's go into this a little bit. One of the clearest trends in the recent history of political science is the strong and growing emphasis on comparative cross-national research, in other words, global. The following treatment, this is the book, is restricted to Democratic political parties, as we've stated from the beginning. The research findings pertain to Anglo-American, which in their writings is American, British, and Canadian, and Western European, which in these writings is German, Italian, Norwegian, political parties, although theoretical perspective has broader implication. One of the main purposes which the party model essay serves is to provide sharply contrasting value perspectives by which the performance of political parties may be judged. So we've got here, and I know if I continue to ad lib over the top of this, we're going to run out of time, but we'll do it anyway, because we're going into something now where your diligence listening to me reading all these weeks is going to start to pay off, because now we can start talking about things that are a little bit more deep and a little bit more weighty. So one of the main purposes which this party model essay serves is to provide sharply contrasting value perspectives by which the performance of political parties might be judged. This perspective is particularly important today in the light of recent criticism of American parties and the growing emphasis on participatory democracy. Participatory democracy. It was being inculcated all over the world, particularly the Anglo-American and Western European worlds. A distinctive feature of this volume is its exclusive focus on party organization. Obviously, that's what the title of the book implies. The focus of this volume is on the lower or grassroots levels of party organization because of the importance assigned these levels in theory, and because most empirical research on party organization has been conducted at these levels. Now, a lot of the views that I hold are based upon the research that I've done. And when this kind of material falls into my research pattern and confirms my assumption, if you will, my hypothesis, that the place that we need to become very vocal local is at the local precinct level, when the political scientists start to confirm my hypotheses, then I start to take note, and I hope you will as well. So it is most certainly the case that political parties cover a broad range of phenomena, and that there are several other vitally important aspects of party. Here they are: party organization at higher levels, we've talked about that, the governmental party, these are the elected public officials, the party in the electorate, theories of party systems, and especially in American parties, candidate-centered and factional organizations. That's going to be so important to remember. But when we say this, cover a broad range of phenomena, how many of you have ever looked into your dictionaries and encyclopedias and studied phenomenology? We're not talking about demons and devils. We're talking about a branch of thought, a branch of philosophy. And many times, Claude Henri de Rouvroy, Saint Simon, is credited as being the founder of phenomenology. So we're right back into the same hotbed in France in the 1800s. Theory. The study of political parties, as that of all areas of political science, needs to be guided by theory, they say. Facts have little meaning, and of themselves, theory gives meaning to and enables us to interpret the significance of facts. And so in science, empirically, we go out and gather all of our evidence, and we set it all together, but unless we have some kind of theory to understand it all, it's just a bunch of facts. But facts are indeed stubborn things. So the terms theory, then, model, and conceptual framework are going to be used in this following discussion interchangeably to mean the conceptualization of significant variables and their interrelationships. And this is important, because when we start to go into and understand more of how this two-party system is set up and how it has been deployed in various ways for different means to different ends, then we can start to understand how we can interact successfully with it. And as the first of our broadcasts spoke about, the purpose of these parties is to gain control of the government. And that's exactly what we need to do at this time, is to regain control of our government. And so as we go deeper into this understanding of theory, the theory of political parties, and the different various models and frameworks that exist, that have come under the microscope of the super social scientists as they've looked into political science, then we too will have some inside knowledge. We'll start to have some of the same information that they have at the casino when they set up the odds on the various games. We'll continually increase our odds to be successful. And solutions is what I'm all about. So, first we need a conceptual scheme, since it helps us to helps enable us to organize systematically and thereby gain an overview of the data. And so as we keep hearing more and more come along, I'm going to be asking you to write or make a couple of charts, and then you'll be able to diagram the political system. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had a maybe to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs?
Question:
do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the New World Order.
We've returned. And as we were going into the break, I started out, there's these three general points to understand in the understanding of the terms theory, model, and conceptual framework. Theory, model, and conceptual framework. Is it, and tomorrow, and we'll continue these broadcasts as long as they need to go, intersperse it with other material, but, you know, I'm not afraid of going from one day to the next day on the same topic. I don't like to use the excuse that there's not enough time to cover it all today and then you just drop it. I think that's very weak.
And so what I'd prefer to do would just be to continue it. Obviously, if it was interesting enough and valuable enough to begin it today, it's certainly something that we can continue again and go into tomorrow. It also gives you a little bit of time to take down the archive and listen to what I've already said, digest it a bit, maybe improve on your notes, expand them a little bit, and then do some research on the internet yourself or from your own library to back up or refute the things that I'm talking about, so that if it's necessary to correct me on a point or something like that, and which you're certainly welcome to do, you can call in and do that. So there's these first three points, and I'll leave you with these for today. So first we need to a conceptual scheme. It's a concept. It's a scheme, a schematoid, a schematic, since they help us to enable us to organize systematically and thereby gain an overview of the data. And in this discussion that's going to follow, as we come to understand the political system better, there's going to be charts that I'm going to have to do word pictures so that you can understand what I'm talking about. And so we're going to have some schemes involved in this thing. But you'll see why it's important. And I'm just cherry-picking out of a very large book to give you the crystallized information that will help you to understand where we're going. Second, it's important to realize that there is no one theoretical model or conceptual framework that is necessarily the best or that most closely corresponds to reality. No scheme is right and all others wrong. Now, that in itself is a bunch of philosophy. It talks about the refutation of absolutes, and it opens the door to positivism. But second, it is important to realize that there's no one theoretical model or conceptual framework that is necessarily the best, which means that many have been tried, and we're going to look at several of them, and then we'll see how it relates to us. A third point concerns the normative underpinnings or components of theoretical models, some of which are heavily and explicitly normative, i.e., primarily concerned with making prescriptive statements about what ought to be. What ought to be. Put that in italics. You find it in all of the history of law, jurisprudence, etc. You're talking about what ought to be. That's normative and a prescriptive statement. For example, most conceptions of democracy or political philosophers' conceptions of the ideal state. And that takes us right back to Plato's Republic and comes forward from there. Less apparent is the fact that even empirical models, which purport to describe what is, in italics, usually contain potent fundamental normative assumptions or value premises, and these are often implicit and may be easily overlooked. So there's much to be discussed in this as we go further into it, and I encourage you to come back again tomorrow and join with us as we go further into our understanding of political science, a theory applied as we become vocal local right where we are. Now, of course, I must remind you that the freedomadvocates.org website exists, and some of this material will find its way there. Also, the ozarkvoter.info website is a good place to look. The vocallocal.org website is my little nugget of a website. And you can always reach me at host@vocallocal.org. My name is William Roberts. Thank you for listening. And until the next time, good afternoon.
Tell you why I